Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Would you go there? Ephesians chapter 5. Really appreciate Josiah and Anna's testimony. Did a great job. And let me just say this. I know sometimes we're reluctant to do things because we maybe think that we're not quite good enough. Or it's, well, maybe in a few years when I get proficient at, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever, maybe that'll be the time. But you know, there's really something to say for someone who serves the Lord right now. In other words, right where you're at, doing the best that you can with what you've got, and doing it for the honor and glory of the Lord. I said it before in regards to the testimony, but really, I do mean it. If the best that you can do is Jesus loves me with one hand on the piano, I'll tell you, that would be appropriate for our purposes. Why? Because you're offering up what you're learning, a skill that you're trying to sharpen, and you're offering it up to the Lord in service to Him and allowing Him to use it. So throw away your expectation. Okay, we don't expect you to get up here with music memorized and sing it forwards and backwards, and do it perfectly. Just take what you've got, what the Lord's given you, and do your best, and that'll be a blessing to Him. I know it'll be a blessing to everybody else. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. I think there's probably some tonight who don't have a Bible for whatever reason. And we've got a stack back there just for these instances. So if for some reason you don't have a Bible with you tonight, go ahead and lift your hand. We want to get a copy of God's Word in your hand so that you can have one. Be able to look on with us as we study God's Word. This is the most important part of Mega Time. We've got Teen Choir, you know, and that's important to me. But let me tell you, when it comes to everything that we do from 3:30 to 8:15 at night, this part right here, the next 25, 30 minutes is the most important thing that we will do. And so I want you to be able to see God's Word and be able to study it, you know, as we go down through the message tonight. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, notice what the Bible says here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You notice those words, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Maybe some of you that are avid readers will recognize the name J.M. Barrie. J.M. Barrie became famous in 1910 for writing a classic book that has been renamed over the years, but at the time of the original writing, it was simply called Wendy and Peter. And some of you who maybe know your Disney movies at least understand those are two characters out of the fictitious story of Peter Pan. The interesting thing about that book, of course, is that you've got, you know, this boy who never wants to grow up. And so he lives in this fantasy land called Neverland. And while he's there, he doesn't do any growing. He just goes from one adventure to the next. And if you've read the book or you've seen any movies that relate to that, maybe you've been entertained by that. Most people would recognize Peter Pan. Most people, though, don't know the connection between the story that was written and James's childhood. Now, unfortunately, James, at a young age, he was 6 years old. He had an older brother who was 13, and there was a traumatic event that happened in James's life, the man who wrote Peter Pan, that completely formed the story that he would later write, and that was the death of his older brother. His brother, there was an accident that happened. It was one winter that happened on the ice, and his brother lost his life, and really that event would go on to shape the context of that fictitious story of Peter Pan. The idea of a boy who remains forever young, And in James's life and in his mind, he sort of pictured his older brother that way. And kind of wove him into the story that became so popular. You know, most of the time, our desire is to grow up, right? We've talked about that in different ways, and there really are not too many things that we look at and say, oh, wow, I wish I could remain 10 years old forever. Especially once you get into the teen years, you look off at like, hey, 15, I get my permit. Hey, 16, I get my driver's license. Hey, 18, and then you just keep looking down the road and you get excited about those things. You say, man, boy, it's exciting to grow up. But I think it is interesting that there are some things when we look at Scripture, we see that there's a consensus. And that consensus is that of encouragement to grow and to keep growing. We talked about that, right? Time and time again, we see in the New Testament, what is it? James in his letter, he encourages, hey, listen, it's time to grow up in the Lord. And that would be the case. The idea to avoid foolishness, immaturity, and other things that sometimes are associated with maybe being childlike. But what if I told you tonight that there are some things that the Lord actually encourages us to embrace in a childlike way? What if I told you that there are some things that the Lord lifts up in regards to being a child and even appears to honor children? Tonight, I'd like to encourage you not to grow up. Scott, have you lost your mind? What are you preaching tonight? Well, we're gonna look at it here together and show you the passages, but tonight I want you to see three ways that the Lord wants us to embrace childlikeness and stay forever young. Now, if this sounds counterintuitive, it's because it would to anybody. In fact, you're not alone. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 with me. Because this very concept was something that a group of people did not understand and had a hard time wrapping their mind around. Mark chapter 10, I want you to notice verse 13 through 15 here. We'll grab just a little bit of the story and then notice the conversation that takes place. Jesus here spending time with different people groups. Verse 13, you'll notice, and they brought young children to him. It says him being Jesus. Mark 10, verse 13, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And notice the words of the Lord here, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our study with just the brief moments that we have. Lord, there are a lot of things that could distract us, Lord, simply in and of our own minds. Lord, many times we get distracted, not by other people, but just when our mind begins to go other places. And Lord, in a context like this, Lord, that could be detrimental to our spiritual growth. Lord, I pray that we would not be distracted in mind. I pray that we would not be one to distract someone else that's sitting around us. But Lord, in all sobriety and self-control, Lord, we would be willing to open ourselves to you and what you have for us for the next few moments. Lord, we need your guidance, and I pray that you would teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. Three ways to embrace childlikeness and stay forever young. Notice number one, there is a childlike faith. A childlike faith. Now, Jesus here is talking to his disciples. He's talking to the group of people. He's talking to the children that are around him. And he's explaining a very important concept when it comes to saving faith or what it means to accept Christ as Savior. And you'll notice there was an assumption here that had been in place by the disciples, and you can imagine as they're following him around, they already know he's a fantastic teacher. Up to this point, they have seen him do a number of miracles. They are standing in awe of the Son of God, and they are very protective of him. And you can imagine, as probably you and I would have been if we had the opportunity to be so close to Jesus Christ himself, they get around this crowd, Jesus is doing teaching left and right, the disciples are there just to help, and all of a sudden, these children start running up to Jesus. And you can imagine that I probably would have stepped in as well. Whoa, 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 whose kids are these? Whoa, what's going on here? Why, children, look. Yeah, this is a very important man. And they were focused on the greatness of Christ, but they assumed that Jesus would not give time to even the children. So this assumption there is barring them from understanding a very simple truth that Jesus is about to unfold here. But in Jesus' response, you notice here very clearly that the Bible says that it displeased him. And he tells the disciples, suffer the children or allow the children to come unto me and forbid them not. So what's he saying? He's challenging them, and he takes children and he elevates them. He says, no, you have it all wrong. Okay, you think that spiritual things are just for adults. You think that spiritual things are just maybe for people who have accomplished some things academically. Okay, what I want you to understand is that theirs, the children, is the kingdom of God. Okay, no, I'm not going to the cross just for the educated people who can quote philosophers and who know a lot of stuff, but I'm going to the cross to die for even the youngest. And boy, the youngest among us can actually even teach us a lesson about our own faith. And so that's where Jesus goes. He confronts the assumptions of the disciples here, and he tells them, look, don't refuse the children. They have every right to my kingdom. And you notice a couple of things here. All who come to Christ come in childlike faith, and that's what he's talking about. Verily I say unto you, who shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So it's that childlike faith, that simplicity of trust that is required for a man to receive Christ as Savior. Well, aren't you so glad that the Lord didn't just carve a salvation message that only adults could understand? Well, you think about how much time would be wasted if I'm 40 years old and now I can finally grasp the message of salvation and the message of Christ and Jesus dying for my sin. Can you imagine how much time would be wasted? Can you imagine how many lives would be lost? Well, can you imagine that? I mean, there are a lot of people around the world who never even lived to see 40 years old. But Jesus is drawing a line here. He's teaching a very important truth about childlike faith and its simplicity here. There were many who came with accomplishments. You remember someone says, hey, teacher, I've kept the law. You know, he thought that, hey, it's because of my knowledge that the Lord's going to do something for me spiritually and allow me to be in heaven with him. Jesus said, oh, no, you can't come with your accomplishments. There were others who came with their riches. You remember Jesus saying, hey, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And why is that? Well, the rich man wants to beat his chest and say, hey, look what I've done. This is why I deserve heaven. Boy, if the requirement was accomplishment and riches, there'd probably be a whole lot of us in this room who never would have the chance at heaven. So it's not an accomplishment, and it's not in riches, and it's not a prove-it mentality. There were those who came to him with a prove-it mentality. He said this, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. The Lord designed salvation in the form of something that even a child can know and understand. You ever thought about why it is the older we get, the more difficult it is for us to accept things? I just tend to become a little more skeptical. Maybe it's the volume of situations that you have access to as you get older and you see things and you begin to formulate things. And sometimes you just, well, you know, things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes we get a little more skeptical. Sometimes we become less trusting. Well, I think about the simplicity of a child's faith and trust. Well, I've seen it in every one of my children. Every one of my children, one of their favorite activities, stand on the dresser and jump in mommy and daddy's arms. What faith? I mean, but I'm telling you, I don't have to do a whole lot of convincing there. You know what's good enough for Felicity right now? I'll catch you. And she rails back. She backs up. And she just, with the smile that just lights up the room, hurls herself. And you know what? I catch her. Well, you know what? That's the simplicity of accepting Christ. Well, it's knowing what He's done for me, and then it's just having the faith that He's going to catch me. And boy, what a blessing that is. And in that way, every single person in this room has the opportunity to be saved, to secure a home in heaven, to recognize that Jesus Christ died for your sins and paid the penalty so you don't have to, so that you can live with Him eternally in heaven and not in a place called hell created for the devil and his angels. A childlike faith. We've seen that tonight. If I could challenge you and encourage you, ways to embrace childlikeness, it would be in this point. There is a childlike faith. The Lord wants all of us to embrace a childlike faith that eagerly jumps into the arms of Jesus. What were Jesus' words? I say unto you, so shall come and receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. You've seen the first point tonight with me. I want you to notice the second, though, and for that we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, where we started our message tonight, Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to direct you back to verse 1. We've already read it, but it's the second thought here in regards to ways that we ought to embrace childlikeness. Boy, I wonder if the Lord looked at us tonight, would they see an unsaved person who is waiting for signs and wonders, or someone who says, Lord, I believe. For every Christian in this room, when the Lord looks down, does He see a Christian with childlike faith and trust that simply lifts up their arms unto the Lord and says, Lord, I believe You. Lord, I trust You for anything. Because that's what the Lord would have us do this evening. I want you to see here verse 1. We've already read it, but look at it again. Be therefore followers of God as what? As dear children. So we see, first of all, there's a childlike faith, but second of all, there is a childlike following. He says, as dear children. Well, we just talked about that, okay? Our childlike following begins with being born into His family. I will forever be a child of God, and nothing can ever change that. My relationship with Him is forever. But nothing can change my birth parents. Nothing can change my earthly birth parents. They are who they are and will always be. I will always be their son. And in the very same way, when I was spiritually born into God's family, nothing can ever change that. And now that I am His child, there's a following that the Lord wants to be a part of my life. Would you see three things in relation to this? There's a childlike following. But I want you to see that following Christ, number one, means letting Him lead. Now, this is a foundational principle to the Christian life. In fact, you will find the term where Jesus says, follow me or follow after me. You will find it a total of 7 times in the New Testament, and it is always in a positive sense. But what's the idea there? It's for us to allow Him to take charge in our lives. That's a hard thing to do. Well, you know, especially if you have an independent nature, and I know sometimes we have varying personalities in this room. Some, hey, I'm happy to let somebody else lead. Somebody else says, hey, let me lead for a while. Hey, sometimes our personalities are a little bit different, but foundational truth is allowing Jesus to lead your life. And How do we do that? Well, we see his example, we see in his word, and of course that's illustrated in numerous ways. But following Christ means letting him lead. I'm not in control, he is. You know, when I was about 9 years old, the house that we grew up in, on Tiburon Drive, my parents sold it. And we sold it, I still remember so many details, even as a nine-year-old kid, so many details about this. It was on the market for over a year. Now, you guys don't understand that because you're in Northern Virginia, okay? But in Florida, the housing market is very different. And I remember countless people coming to our home, you know, looking at it, walking out the door, and us wondering, will we ever sell this house? You know, I remember when we finally did. And I remember going with my parents to the office where they would sign a bunch of papers. And, you know, they were there for a couple of hours. And, you know, how foolish would it have been if I was, if I just inserted myself in that situation and said, Mom, Dad, folks, hold everything. There are a few things I think we need to add to this contract. My dad begins to speak. I said, oh, I'll take charge. Now, maybe we could work a pool into this deal. You know, maybe something special for the kids. Yeah. How foolish would that be? Okay, no. Every kid knows that there are certain situations you do not insert yourself into. Okay, well, I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the maturity, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. But how foolish is it for us to be that way with the Lord? Well, I think that we would all say here tonight, well, you know, yeah, I'm following the Lord, Brother Scott. But yeah, but how does that translate into everyday life? You know, following the Lord also means giving honor and respect to your authority. Following the Lord also means being obedient to your parents or whoever that authority figure is in your life. And when you and I divert from that, we're no longer following the Lord. Okay, so following the Lord as a child, in a childlike way, is a person who allows him to lead. Are you in that place tonight? Are you allowing the Lord to lead your life? Following Christ, number two, means becoming proficient with staying with him. Okay, we aren't following just anyone, we're following the Lord, right? One of the games that you learn really early on in life is follow the leader. It's a simple game, and boy, all kids play this game. And all the kids love it. I remember I had a three-year-old music class in Florida when I taught at a Christian school. I taught music from K-3 all the way to 12th grade. And those kids were fun. I mean, they could barely stand up straight. And they'd come into the room, and we had different activities that we'd do with them. One of them was we'd turn on this marching band music, and boy, they loved to follow me around the room, just marching. Maybe we just, two, three, four. I mean, this is great, you know. I mean, they were just loving it. We could have done that the whole music class, and they just couldn't have been happier. You know, they just following right in line. You know, following the leader, that's simple. I mean, nobody has to sit down and explain, okay, now make sure you put one foot in front of the other on this one. Okay, now don't trip. Nobody has to explain the rules of follow the leader to you. But man, sometimes we don't follow the Lord very well. Sometimes we don't stay with him as we should. And following the Lord in a childlike way requires that we do. Following Christ means letting him lead. Following Christ means becoming proficient with staying with him. And then number three, following Christ means imitating him. I want to draw your attention to one word that's in verse 1. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. You'll notice that word followers has the idea to mimic. This is the Greek word that translates to mimic in our English language. I think we know what it means to imitate, right? Maybe you have family members that you enjoy imitating. Let me just ask you that. How many of you have a grandpa, grandma, you know, uncle, aunt, cousin? There's a family member that you, from time to time, You know, you've enjoyed doing some imitations. Okay, be honest. Okay. All right, we like to do that and have a good time. You know, most of the time when we're mimicking someone, we're picking up on their mannerisms, right? We're picking up maybe on a voice inflection. I remember when I was a teenager in high school and I was participating in FACTS. It's ODAX here. It was FACTS there. And we would do different things. I did a humorous interpretation once. It was called Channel Changers. And it was this, you know, 5-minute sequence where I was like 6 or 7 different channels, 6 or 7 different characters. And so there was like a chef, there was an announcer, there was an Australian explorer, there was a nurse, doctor. I didn't put on a wig, and then there was somebody else. I can't remember who it was, but I was imitating. Okay, mannerisms, maybe funny tone of voice, you know, things like that. That's not what this is talking about. When it says, be ye followers after Christ, we're not trying to mimic some voice and play. We don't even know what that would have been like. But what he does mean, he explains in the following verses. I want you to see here that following Christ means imitating him. Okay, the attitude, the words, the actions. Well, how do we imitate Christ? We'll look at verse 2. Notice this. Okay, so we're to imitate the Lord, and how do we do that? We got to know how he is, right? Well, look at verse 2. We'll walk in love. As Christ also loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice of God as a sweet savor. We don't have time to talk about all of this, but just listen. Love is Christ's love. Love as an offering to God. Love as a sacrifice. Love as a fragrance, something that last. But I wonder, you know, how our fellowship is of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if the Lord would classify the way we follow him like a child, if he'd be able to look down and look at our love and say, well, yeah, boy, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know, I find that I learn so much from my children. You know, I didn't really have to teach them how to love me. Okay, I didn't have to do that. I didn't sit down with them and say, all right, you know, Philip Andrew, all right, once a month I want to see a nice written note slipped under my door, some chocolates in place, okay, and maybe some of your birthday money. Okay, I don't have to tell my children how to love me, but I'll tell you, children are really good at learning how to love. Well, I look at some of the conscientious things my boys have done, you know, even in the cutest, you know, way that Felicity loves me. Boy, there's a childlike simplicity to it, boy, that just draws me in. It's so impactful. Sometimes we need to go back a little bit and learn something from those who are younger than us. Be mindful of how we can be loving to one another. To love, to follow the Lord in love. And then he says here, we don't have time to look at it, how to imitate Christ in love, in purity. Verse 3 through 5 goes through that. We've got to go to our final point because our time is gone. The Lord wants us to embrace a childlike following. Well, there's a simplicity to that. Father, I got your hand, Lord. I'm following you no matter what. Father, I love you. I hope I'm showing that today. Notice the final thing, a childlike faith, a childlike following. And then last of all, there is a childlike filter. I'm going to explain this a little bit. Just one verse more, Romans chapter 16. You guys have listened well tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm going to show you one more verse, and then we're going to pray and be done. Stay with me. This is important. a childlike faith, there is a childlike following, and finally there is a childlike filter. Romans chapter 16 and verse 9. Ways that each Christian in this room tonight can embrace childlikeness. Romans 16 and verse 19. Notice what it says. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Paul is speaking about the Roman churches. He goes on, look at what he says. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Paul gives two commands here really quickly. Number one, he says, encourage these Roman believers to immerse themselves in that which is good. Make the pursuit of your life that which is true and honest and of good report. Immerse yourself in my word. Use the tools that have been given to you in your day. Use the church and the believers that have surrounded your life. Immerse yourselves in that which is good. What a message. But it's the second part of his message that I want us to look at. What does he say? He says in verse 19, look at it again. Yet I would have you be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Immerse yourself in that which is good, but notice this, be simple concerning evil. The word simple here has the idea of something that is innocent or unmixed. Okay, it's something in its purest form. It's something which evil has been filtered out. Okay, so get the picture. As he's describing something that the Roman churches and the Christians there can pursue. Embrace that which is good. Wrap yourself up in that which is righteous and holy and godly and good. And then on the flip side, avoid, separate from that which is evil. Be innocent. Be simple concerning evil. You know, I see a simplicity here that so often we see in children. An innocency so often that we see in children. Well, you know, that to me, that is one of the most beautiful things of children. Well, I love the simplicity and the innocence that my children have. I just love that. It's so refreshing. You know, all the evils of this world, they're not privy to. They don't know. They've not been affected by temptation or addictions that grab hold of so many. Their minds have not been perverted when it comes to double meaning statements and inappropriate comments. They've not been lured down a perverted hole on the web where their purity has been tarnished. They're children, not educated in all that is evil. There's a part of me as a father that just wishes I could just keep my children from knowing some of the things that are out there. The things that as you get older, it's hard to run away from. There's a simplicity and innocence there. And that's what Paul is trying to encourage us about. Don't be educated in regards to evil. Okay? Don't be curious about those things that have nothing to do with that which is good. Say, how do you know when you've lost that childlike filter? Well, I think one way is to sort of put yourself in situations and see if you've lost the ability to blush when it comes to certain things. Maybe there was a time in your life when somebody could have said something and the hair on the back of your neck would have risen up because of how uncomfortable you would have felt. Maybe some double meaning language or lingo that sometimes goes between groups is something that occupies your mind. And maybe there were things that you used to could look at on your phone and that would say, ah, I'm getting rid of that. You've come to a place where you're no longer simple concerning evil. You're no longer innocent. You're no longer at that place of unfiltering fellowship of the Lord. I encourage you tonight, there's some ways that the Lord encourages us to be childlike. One of those is in regards to our faith. Another way is in regards to how we follow Him. Another way is in regards to how educated we are when it comes to wicked and evil things. A couple of statements, and we're done tonight. I'd like to encourage you, don't grow up. If growing up means doubting God, keep your childlike faith. If growing up means taking the lead, don't waver from a childlike following. And if growing up means knowing all things evil, keep your childlike filter and innocence. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. We've taken some time to look at three ways to embrace childlikeness and stay forever young. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe it was too complicated before. Maybe you never understood all the ins and outs of it. Maybe you just, you know, were waiting for a sign and a wonder. Remember, that's not where Jesus is found. Jesus is found in a simple faith that looks and lives. Christian, tonight, have you gotten back to a childlike faith where you just simply trust? Simply trust Him. Maybe there's someone here tonight that has not been doing a very good job following the Lord as one of His children. I encourage you, confess that tonight, begin following Him. Hey, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Well, that's something everyone can do in this room tonight to preserve our innocence in Him and maintain a pure walk with the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would minister in our invitation time. Lord, may You take control and may, Lord, we simply be obedient to what You are doing in our hearts. Father, as the altar is opened and the piano plays, Lord, may we not consider anybody else but ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, God's worked in your heart. The altar's open here. Feel free to move as the Lord directs. Sure, I want you to grow. So many things that we can move forward in. Academically, physically, all those things are great, but tonight we've looked at the three areas that I encourage you, don't grow up. Don't grow out of your faith. Don't grow out of your purity. Don't grow out of following the Lord. Keep it simple. Keep it childlike. Thanks for listening tonight, and let's each one of us walk in truth, okay?